Good thing I had two backups. This is going to work now. All right, so next phase. So I want to talk a little bit about desire. Okay, so I mentioned that the three most popular questions that I get from the ladies about guys is, one, how do I get him? Two, what's he thinking? And three, how do I get him back? Okay, so the problem...
Three questions you get from the guys?
No, their question is, how do I get her in bed? And that's also question two and three. I wrote the guy one for the guys first, yes. I actually don't remember what the most popular question for guys is. But the problem with these three questions is that they're the wrong questions, okay? So let's talk about desire. So over the summer, I went to Amsterdam and hung out there. Great city, loved it. And read a bunch of books on Tantra, Tantrayana Buddhism. And just to clear things up, it's like 2% kinky sex and 98% really other cool stuff. So we're not going to talk about the kinky sex tonight. That's some other seminar, okay? But Tantra is really this way of engaging with the world fully and kind of being in love with the world. And there are parallels with this whole idea of positivity resonance. So I'm going to explain that to you. So, and the books that I read were by this fellow Daniel Audier, a French guy. Went off in the 70s, got deep, you know, he went into Tibet in this unheated monastery, the stupa, you know, in the sky, you know, meditated there for years, and then went off to Kashmir, found this lady who was a Tantra teacher, and, you know, went through crazy things in order for it to be accepted as her student. Anyway, the genuine article. He actually did it, and he wrote some great books. So he talks about desire. And he says, look, we got a problem here, okay? Because when you want something, you can't win. When you have desire for something, there are two settings. One is you don't get it. Now you're in a pissy mood. Now you're disappointed because you didn't get it, right? Like, I really wanted that. Okay, so that's a problem, right? Second setting is you actually get it. And you think, wee, I got it. But did you really? Because what you wanted was your projection of that thing. You had certain ideas about what that was going to be. You never actually saw that thing for what it really was, right? And so you get it, and now there's like this clash between what you thought you wanted and this thing that you got. You're like, what the hell is this? And that means what? A 50% divorce rate in this country. That's what happens, okay? It's like, oh my God, we got married and suddenly it was a totally different person. So the point is, what you need to do is you need to stop these projections and actually see things for what they are. So how do you do that? And what do you do with this desire? Because it's a lot of energy. You feel it in your body. It's like, ooh, want, need. Okay, so as you have the piece of chocolate on your lap that you're not eating because I told you not to, it's like, ah, want. Now what do I do? Okay, this is what you do. What you do is you take that little D desire and turn it into big D desire, right? What you do is you allow your desire for that piece of chocolate. Who has a piece of chocolate on their knee that they actually really want to eat right now? Yes? Are you feeling desire for that? Who's feeling desire for the chocolate? A little bit. Just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, good. So, or anything else. I want you to find something in the world that you really want. Maserati, Manolo Blahnik, whatever it is, right? So feel that desire. Close your eyes and feel that desire. Okay. Okay. Now realize if you were to just let this arc, this little lightning bolt of desire just end with that thing, well, it just ends with that thing, and then you get it, and then, you know, you experience some kind of disappointment or some momentary pleasure, and that's that. But what if you were to let that arc of desire just move through that object, right, permeate the space around it into everything else, like the whole department store instead of just a Manolo Blahnik, right, and then the city around it, everybody there, everything, right, and feel that desire as what it really is, which is the motivating force of life, what animates the entire universe. That is what desire is. You can think of desire and attraction as kind of like gravity. That is the thing that really animates the entire universe. So the idea is that as you feel that, that expands your heart, right? And that includes everything in the room, right? As opposed to that one guy you really wanted. And that empowers you instead of diminishing your power. And then you actually have a chance to see that thing for what it really is, okay? As opposed to projecting. Then you have a chance to be fully present and actually see it and feel it. And then you can interact with it in a way that's actually meaningful. Okay, so that is the problem of desire. So the idea is to do this exercise of feeling it, right? But then allowing, so let's see, you know, the thing that you desire is you know, this watch or that piece of chocolate. And then let that desire, like, pass through it. Let that become the conduit. Let it become the catalyst for you to really feel that. The same way that you had that one person, that niece or nephew or a pet or something, that allowed you to feel that real heart opening, that real love. Let that become the catalyst, the spark for that desire, and then allow that to permeate the entire surroundings, make bigger circles, county, city, state, world, universe. Feel that, and notice how that feels different. Yes? Different? Okay, good. So that is the exercise. So the other aspect of Tantric Buddhism is about attention. It's about being fully present in the moment. And he calls these the micro practices, which is very similar to the micro practices we did with love. And the idea is that at any moment of existence that you are here right now, right, you have the entirety of the universe at your fingertips, right? You can feel the whole world. There is ecstasy everywhere. You don't have to be at some special party. You don't have to be with some special person. There is so much joy and energy out there that it's right here. Okay, so, you know, maybe a party would be nicer. But there is such an excess right here, right now, that if you were to just open the channels of your awareness to that, you would feel it all, and you'd feel pretty great. So what I invite you to do right now is to take that piece of chocolate, okay, and look at it. We're going to start by just looking at it. And focus all of your attention on it. Notice its particular texture. Notice its particular color. Okay? Notice the way it feels in your hands, right? Give it the attention you have not given it ever, right? Because you were too busy gobbling it up as it entered your hand. Okay, so just look at it and really feel that. And as you do that, slowly bring it up to your nose, close your eyes, and take a deep, deep whiff. Okay, and it's really important that you actually pay attention to this and do it to get the full experience, okay? Take a deep whiff and notice what that does to your head. Notice what that does to your taste buds. And maybe you even start to salivate already. And then what I want you to do is to imagine what it would feel like if you were to take that little bit of chocolate, right, and a little bit of it would touch the tip of your tongue, okay? That first molecule of chocolate. Imagine that explosion of flavor that would happen on the tip of your tongue. That little miniature orgasm happening inside on top of your taste bud, just going, okay? And imagine that first. Imagine how that would send a shockwave of feeling and excitement and electricity down your tongue, up to your head, and down the rest of your body, okay? And only when you've actually felt that already without tasting it, I want you to actually have a taste of it. Take a tiny bite and let it sit on your tongue and let it just melt right there. So it spreads on the taste buds of your tongue. And then allow all that electrical impulse flow through your tongue, into your brain, down your body, everywhere you want it to go. And notice how that is a different experience from the way you have experienced chocolate up to this point. Okay? And continue the mindfulness. Continue and notice where the sensation goes. Notice where it goes in your mouth, in your body. Notice where you feel heat, tingliness, wherever it is. And make a mental record of that. And follow that feeling. Really feel that, okay? And only when you've done that and you're ready, take another bite. And if you have some Prosecco you'd like to drink, you can do it with that too. Or even water. Even something as supposedly tasteless as water. If you really attend to the texture, the temperature, the way it feels on your tongue as your body starts to absorb it, even before you swallow it, the way it nourishes every cell in you, it changes the entire experience of water. And the idea is that ecstasy is present all the time. And it's present right beyond every single cell of your body if you choose to pay attention. Okay? And the idea is that if a guy sees you looking like, freeze, don't move, right there. She has this big goofy smile on her face. She's like this and she's like that, okay? Who's going to resist? Nobody, right? I get to see all of you, of course. That's part of the perks of this job, right? Seeing all of you lit up, happy, and really feeling, okay? Because what happens when you do this is you become embodied. You become less of a head and more of a whole person, right? You're all smart women, right? That's because it says smart woman on the cover, right? Obviously. And you're here. That means by definition you're smart. So the idea is that, you know, you spend all this time doing stuff with your head. You manipulate the world around you, you direct things, you create things, and that's fantastic and that's awesome. At the same time, you want to have all of you functioning all the time, all of you present, especially when it comes to interacting in an intimate relationship, okay? So, how does that feel?
Luscious.
Yes, luscious, okay, some how's that feel?
Great.
And you can also respond in monosyllables or just grunts, groans, that's fine too. Yes?
I had an incident with the chocolate. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Being in the present. Mm-hmm. Even when you eat your lunch, you just like swallow it, nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Americans are like too busy talking. It's like, where'd my food go? Oh, it's in my belly. Okay. Yes.
Felt good.
Felt good. Okay, good. And if I come to you, look at you in the eye, and ask you, it's because this is what happens in a workshop. We make you do things you don't do at home. Also, I'm connecting. I'm looking at you. I'm saying, hi, tell me your name.
Eileen.
Hello, Eileen. Thank you for coming. How'd it feel for you?
I ate mine when you started talking about the desire.
Okay. Oops. There's more where that came from. Okay, good. And you have the chance to do this anytime you want. I mean, it's really that simple.
Do men like doing this?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody. Savoring is a universal thing. Yes. That's fantastic. All right. Good. Cher?
I can't eat chocolate, so I was imagining eating a
chocolate. That's good. Okay. Yeah. Or you can do it with anything else you like. And are you finding this useful, even though supposedly it's geared for women?
Yeah.
He felt it.
My saliva just took on this electric flavor of its own before I even got the chocolate.
There you go. You don't even need the chocolate. You have your own saliva. But the point is, ecstasy is right here, okay? It's always here. And if you are able to access it first, it's contagious. You can give it to other people, right? And then you can also teach other people to feel more of it too, just feeling more alive. If you have, over here, Cher, yes? You already mentioned, yes? Yes?
Satisfied. That's like the first word that came to mind.
Right.
I love food. And I love to talk about food and I love to think about food.
Yeah, savoring is a big, big component.
Patient.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Savoring is a big component of any kind of mindfulness. And, you know, do this with your next meal. It's just, it's miraculous. The best meal, the most tasty meal I ever had was not an expensive restaurant. It was not some fancy French cuisine. It was at a meditation retreat. It was a 5-day retreat. And it was kind of silent. We weren't allowed to talk to other people. And, you know, after, like, you know, it's the first 6 hours, I'm like, this is crazy, this is insane. But your intention is just focused to a point, to a sharp, sharp point, and everything is much more intense. And the food was this very simple vegetarian cuisine. It was just like this lentils and chopped tomatoes and stuff. And I had one spoonful, and I almost passed out. I was like, woohoo! Because for the first time, I actually felt the food. And everything was alive. The texture of the lentils, the temperature of the tomatoes was slightly cooler, the saltiness and the sweetness, and all that together is just like, holy smoke. So there you go. I just made all of your meals super duper gourmet. And you don't have to spend nearly as much money on food anymore. All right, good deal. So so we're getting... so you guys want me to go on or you want Q&A? Go on a little more?
Go
yes?
On.
Okay. We'll give you like, yeah, another 5 minutes of me pontificating. So, Tao of dating. Let's talk about the Tao of dating. So, all of these principles are incorporated in some way in the book. Yes, those of you who read it, I mean, kind of the flavor is there. But I also want to give you some specifics. So, the title for this talk was How to Be Irresistible. So, I've given you some practices for that. So, this is how you become irresistible. You become the light, right? So be the light. People ask me, give me the short version of the book. Oh, it's only 280 pages. No problem. So I give them the three-letter version, which is be the light, right? When you are the light, when you are warming and brightening everything around you, you feel great. Other people feel your light and they want to be around you. The rest is detail. Now, specifically, the practices for being irresistible. Okay, so how do we break this down? There's a lot of ways of doing this. So I like to think of it in terms of the chakras in your body, right? So the head chakra, the heart chakra, and the groin chakra, or mind, body, spirit, however you want to talk about it, okay? So How do you attract with your mind? How do you become irresistible with your mind? How do you become irresistible with your heart? And how do you become irresistible with your body? So one of the big principles in the Tao of Dating is to be aware of masculine and feminine energy. So, you know, it's a bit of a rough rubric, but approximately, you know, it's not a hard and fast thing. But basically, stuff that goes out, stuff that does is masculine, is yang. Stuff that receives is yin. Simple way, okay? So the ultimate embodiment of feminine energy would be to receive, to surrender and to receive. So how do you exercise that in the context of mind, heart, mind, spirit, and body? So what do you talk about when you go on a date, right? Well, okay, so this makes it really simple. Instead of worrying about what you're going to talk about on a date, the way you make yourself irresistible is by being a very good listener. Okay, so you just listen, you take it in, and you absorb. Why? Because everybody in this world has something really cool to chime in with and says, oh, but let me tell you this. They never let you finish your sentence. If you're the one person who lets people finish their sentence, they will love you forever. Okay? And it's really hard to do, right? And guys are bad at it, girls are bad at it, but it is really powerful if you do it. So, and then what you want to do is you want to draw the other person out. Guy or girl, doesn't matter. And then you do that with this thing I call the magic question. Magic question is, what's important to you about that? Okay? You're not saying why. Why can sound like an interrogation. Why can sound like judgmental. It's like, why'd you do that? That was the dumbest thing I ever heard, right? As opposed to, what was important to you about that? Okay? Or, help me understand that better, right? That was really interesting. Okay, so that's the magic question. Why, rephrased as, what's important to you about that? Okay, so listen and ask, what's important to you about that? So that's the mind, right? So you just took care of that whole thing, right? So this is in contradistinction to one-upmanship, proving you're smarter, proving you're as smart, all these things that people with PhDs, JDs, and MDs like to do, right? That'll be you guys, okay? It doesn't matter. The point is to feel good, make the other person feel fully received. That is how you become irresistible, using your head. Heart, we kind of talked about already a little bit, right? Then the whole idea is, once again, receptivity, okay? And the idea is that if you give complete devotion to another person, especially a man, right? If you make him feel bigger than he ever thought he could be, right? Then you have a monopoly on men because nobody else is doing that, right? If you say, you know, you're doing this, but I think you can do even better, right? Then the guy's like, really? And then you encourage him and then you give him energy. Now notice, this is not necessarily easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. This is a practice. This is work, right? And again, it involves subsuming your own ego to this bigger cause, which is, how do I make this person feel fantastic? And is this diminishing your power? No, this is your power. You are empowering other people. That means you are powerful. This is something you can do, okay? So devotion. You give devotion, right? That is the irresistible from the heart. And finally, irresistible of the body. Is it about giving him the best sex he's ever had, being amazing in the sack, you know, being the empress of the blowjob? Not necessarily, right? I mean, those are good things. In the book, I encourage everybody to go and get very good at this. These are simple skills that you can learn in a matter of weeks, right? And since most people spend their entire lives not actually learning or not learning, parents, they still to this day have not spoken to sex about me, which is amazing. parents, what are they for? So you have to learn on your own, but I digress. The way you become irresistible through your body is, again, yin, receiving, okay? So when I say, feel free to express your appreciation through sound, right? Why? Because that just lights guys up, right? Because guys are basically deaf, dumb, and blind versions of women when it comes to sensuality and feeling the world, right? You smell 10 times better, you hear better, you feel a hell of a lot, I mean, you feel more, your olfactory sense works better, your tongue works, everything works more. There's a saying in Islam, which is that of pleasure Allah created 10 parts, gave 1 part to man and 9 to woman. We want a piece of that 9, damn it, okay? So you, when you receive the universe, right, when you express your pleasure, when you feel through touch, when you have, like, you know, soft silk or cashmere or something, and you just luxuriate in that, right? When you hear sound, when you hear the music, you're like, oh, that feels so great. When you eat food and you truly savor it, as opposed to, oh, sorry, I'm everything free, I can't eat that. When you really just feel the universe fully, right? And you become a conduit so the guy can feel that too, they will love you, okay? And that's really not that hard. That actually, you're designed to already do this. Yes. Well, tell me your name again.
Okay,
Laura, yes, Laura.
And I have 10, 11-year-old boys. And, mm-hmm. and I'm feeling you because I give this to them.
Mm-hmm.
What you're describing as far as the male-female interchange, mm-hmm. and like you are the bomb and you are the this and you are the that and empowering them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to transfer that into a, I mean, obviously, you know, to transfer that into a male-female adult relationship is a different thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So it's just interesting because I think about my guys and I'm like, oh, I get. We already do it.
Right.
So obviously I'm 43 years old and I'm not in a committed relationship. So I'm looking at like, how do I do that without doing it too much to where I give up my power?
Mm-hmm. But how would you be giving up your power if you did that? The only way I see you, pardon me?
Not getting our needs.
Right, the only way I see you giving up your power is if you do it in a mothering way. You don't want to mother the guy, you want to be the catalyst for his growth, right? And you do it because it's fun. Okay, so that's the key thing. You always want to be in touch with you. You're only giving up your power if it's not fun anymore. If you feel you're doing it out of obligation, or this doctor guy told me at some seminar. No. You do it because you're like, it feels good to make other people feel good. It's like you're planting a seed in your garden and a flower comes up. I mean, how cool is that? How many people like to garden? Garden? You like flowers? That's like one of the best feelings in the world. Like, that's what you're doing. And that does not involve diminishing of your power in any way. It's only like, I am an awesome gardener.
But there is something about the nurturance of, because I have sons too.
Yeah.
Or daughters, mm-hmm. whatever. But the nurturance and the tapping into, I think that very devoted feeling
mm-hmm.
that you might have as a parent and how to transform that into an adult sexual relationship. So, but there are some similar kind of, these feelings that it would invoke
mm-hmm.
in terms of love and devotion, I guess.
And nurturing.
Look, I've already declared myself an expert about women. I've never been a woman. Now to say I'm an expert about kids too, that's just way too much. Never been a parent. So what I would encourage you to do is to take that feeling you have for your children, right, which is something you know already, right, and then just use that minus the mothering part for guys because it's super powerful and you're already doing it. Pardon me?
We are not making their lunch.
You are not making their lunch. You don't have to do that. Yes. Yes.
Child, like, oh, you can do
that,
you are the hero,
but more of a... Yeah, I agree. And one of my friends phrased that very effectively. He said, make you be his win. How are you his win? It's like, yes, I got the coolest girl ever, right? Yes.
Okay, so I appreciate your mirroring exercise. I really mm-hmm. appreciate your listening exercise. Mm-hmm. Great skills of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But being the devotee and the conduit, mm-hmm. I feel a little bit like putting myself in a situation where I'm living for someone else and I don't really agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to give up myself to make someone feel like they're really cool and then be like, no, but you're actually cool, but you could be a little better than playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to do that. What are your
explain, to help you understand, how are you putting yourself down?
Well, to tell someone, you know, because, and also, I also didn't eat the chocolate. I felt nothing. But the whole, like, doing a situation where you're like, you're so great.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you could be better. It's just this whole, like, it's all like a worship 50s kind of mentality.
Tell me your name again.
Molly.
Molly.
Yeah.
I want you to think about this. You don't have to answer immediately because as soon as I say it, I'm going to have my answer.
I'll think.
Do you feel great?
I
do. Okay. Do you feel like you're truly great, that you're truly empowered in your power as a person?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have my answer. You don't really. It is, there's this, because it comes out differently when it's really there. Okay. So the point is you will be able to do that for another person to the extent that you give permission for your own greatness.
I just want to spend my life pursuing, like, my stuff. And mm-hmm. I feel like in this day and age, we shouldn't have to give up our stuff
mm-hmm.
to
Right. So the idea is if it's fun, then you're not giving anything up, right? So right now I'm standing here and I'm having a great time. I'm seeing all of you light up. I'm seeing all of you have a great time and enjoy yourselves, feel things you haven't felt before. Am I giving something up, do you think?
I think you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. No, but do you think I'm diminishing myself in some way? Am I giving something up? Could I be doing something else that's more fun?
Yeah.